Ready to roll.
Topic tonight is Laws of Privacy, Hezek Re'ia. So we're back to our regular track of different topics each week in Choshen Mishpat, Eben Ezer, various halakha, lemaise, inyanim relating to the Bezdin and so forth. So there aren't too many cases that we get at the Bezdin in which people register Hezek Re'ia claims. Hezek Re'ia is an encroachment, a visual encroachment upon a neighbor's property that somebody is looking and seeing things maybe that they shouldn't see. Maybe they're looking too closely at the neighbor's property. Maybe Hezek Re'ia could also be in a different direction, that a person has certain property rights where they have windows, and the windows look out and they have air and they have light that they're able to see and discern from the window. Then a person builds a wall and they block the window. That's also a form of Hezek Re'ia. So there are different types of Hezek Re'ia that are discussed in the Gemara. And the Maharitats already, going back hundreds of years, who lived in Safat in the 16th and 17th centuries, the Maharitats noted that in Safat, the buildings were often very close to each other, where people lived in various residences, and they didn't necessarily have such perfect privacy in terms of the protection of their spaces. But he said, despite all of that, there really weren't too many claims, or any claims. He couldn't remember a single claim that had been registered in the Bati Din when he was in Safat that related to Hezek Re'ia. So it's important for us to understand what exactly is Hezek Re'ia, what does it encompass, and why maybe are there not so many claims, and to the extent that there are claims, how do we adjudicate Hezek Re'ia claims nowadays? We know that the starting point of any Hezek Re'ia discussion, of course, is the statement that was made by Bilam when he saw the beauty of the independent tents in which the Jews lived in the desert, and how the doorways did not line up with each other, that they were removed a little bit from whatever was across the street. He said, Matobo alecha Yaakov mishkenosecha Yisrael, how goodly are thy tents, so Yaakov, your sacred places, the Jewish people. And Rashi comments on Matobo alecha al shirah pisvayim she'enem mekubanim zem mol zeh. He saw that there was a certain respect for what we might call privacy. A respect for privacy, and that people didn't have their doors lined up right against each other, and they didn't have their windows lined up right against each other. That whatever openings, apertures there were in the homes were stood alone and were not encumbered, so to speak, or obstructed by other people's views that would look right into their own windows, their own doorways, their own homes. And this this raises the whole issue of what is the Jewish view towards what we call pratiyut. Pratiyut is the privacy. What is our? Do we believe in our right to privacy? So, like many other inyanim that we find in halakha that might correspond to some secular law analog, in Jewish law, it's not so much about the rights as it is about the obligations, about the duties. So here as well, it's more of an obligation that we have to respect and protect other people's privacy. And there's a big question that the Gemara raises at the beginning of Baba Basra, and a student in Yeshiva, when his Perek HaShukvin starts off with this, maybe they spend a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months, maybe an entire Zman, on the first sugya in Baba Basra, which really relates to the question of, is Hezek Re'ia Shmei Hezek or Hezek Re'ia Lav Shmei Hezek? If the damage that is caused by visual encroachment upon a neighbor's property, is that considered to be a form of a tort? Is it a real hezek or not? Does it incur tort liability? Is it something that we view as actual damage? My chaver, Rabbi Daniel Feldman, who's a Rosh Yeshiva at YU, points out that if you look at the formulation, it seems almost a little bit contradictory, because you start off with the words Hezek Re'ia, so you're already acknowledging that there is such a thing as Hezek Re'ia, that there is a damage that's caused through Re'ia, through visual encroachment. And then the other question is it Hezek? Is it not Hezek? So the way he likes to translate it is it a thing or is it not a thing? So that's kind of like, you know, modern day, terminology. But the way that I would put it is probably what the Gemara means is whether this type of damage is actionable damage or is it not actionable damage. when we talk about this type of a hezek. Right. Is there a liability, or is there, for example, an obligation that you would have to spend money in order to prevent a hezek, prevent damage to your neighbor's property through your visual viewing of your neighbor's property? So it comes up really in three different ways of formulation, as Rabbi Feldman points out. One is psychic, and that we find in terms of the idea of ayin hara, that if you look at your neighbor's property, it might be property that your neighbor's not using in terms of doing anything private upon the property, but they're just growing a garden. And they have these wonderful tomatoes and zucchini that are growing in their vegetable garden, and you're staring at it, and you're staring at it could be envious on some level, could be jealous on some level, maybe that's going to cause an ayin hara type of a result. That is discussed in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Kufa Zayin, and the Gemara there has in the name of Rava that you're not allowed to gaze at your neighbor's garden and field where you have beautiful trees or vegetables that are growing. And Rashi over there says, Shlo yafsidenu b'ayin hara, that you shouldn't cause damage in ayin hara. This you find in sources 6 in the Shulchan Aruch, codifies this in Siman Shin Ayin Pes Tzif Hei. I have the source from the Gemara and the Rashi afterwards. Rapilu b'riyoso, the Shulchan Aruch there is talking about different types of hezek, different types of damage. Says you shouldn't damage even through just looking. You can cause damage just by looking at something. It's in the realm not of mamonos per se. That's why this is in Choshen Mishpat. It's in the realm of Issa V'Heter, that you're prohibited from looking at towards the end of Choshen Mishpat, which deals more with prohibitions of things that you're not allowed to do in terms of damage. So also the stockable, you're not allowed to gaze at your neighbor's property. You have the stalks that are fully grown, and they are flowering and sprouting and looking really nice, so you're not allowed to stare. So the Sma talks about this. This is, if we look at source 7 over here, about what is the nature of this sister as opposed to, let's say, other types of hezek riyah. So this might be actually not the worst type of hezek riyah, although we do use the formulation here of hezek riyah, if you think about it, because how did the Shulchan Aruch start off in the second word? Biriyaso. And what's the fifth word? Im yesh bo hezek. Hezek, biriyaso, hezek riyah. So here we find hezek riyah actually formulated, and the Sma points that out. The Sma says, oh, you look at the Torah, you look at the Mechaber, we actually find a juxtaposition of the word hezek with riyah. So we find hezek riyah really being used over here in this context. But we don't find that it's used in the context of Simen Kuf Nun Dalet. What's going on in Simen Kuf Nun Dalet? Simen Kuf Nun Dalet is the case that was discussed at the beginning of the Gemara in Baba Basra. That was the case where the Gemara asked, is there such a thing as hezek riyah, or is there not such a... Is hezek riyah shmei hezek? Is hezek riyah lav shmei hezek? What's the case over there? The case over there is where I have some neighbors who have a shared property, a shared courtyard, and that they both are doing their things, whatever their things are in the courtyard, some which might involve a certain measure of privacy. But that if it is a subject to chalukah, meaning it's big enough to be subject to be split, so that it should be, you should have one portion go to one person and another portion go to another person, that they should have different yards, or even if it's very small, it's not 8 amos, but they decide they're going to split it anyway. That's the sugya of the Gemara, the beginning of Baba Basra. So the Gemara there says that one partner or one neighbor can force the other neighbor to build a wall. What's the nature of the wall that should be built? That depends on Minhag HaMedina, how thick the wall should be made, out of what material the wall should be made. But it should be made out of basically some sort of a sturdy material. And that's the idea, that you can compel such a structure to be built. This is a different type of hezek, not that you're going to cause an ayin hara. You don't necessarily, this is a chatzer, a courtyard. You don't have zucchinis and tomatoes that are growing in the courtyard, but you have people who might want to sunbathe in the courtyard, or they might want to do some type of work where they don't have other people looking at them. They might want to hang out with their wife in the courtyard. So therefore, it's more of an inhibition that they won't have the ability to do mili ditzniusa, things that are private and modest, if somebody is looking at them, that's a different type, not of an ayin hara type of hezek riya, but more of an inhibition type of hezek riya. This might be sort of what we call the second category. It's not psychic damage, but it's monetary damage. The value of my property is going to be affected if I'm not able to use my property to the fullest. I'm not going to be able to get the full value, and it's not going to be worth as much to me if I don't have this wall that protects my privacy. So the Sma in source 7 over here in Siman Shinayin Ches Sifkat Nundalet points out that in Siman Kuf Nundalet, where you have different types of hezek that are described similar to that which is at the beginning of Baba Basra, more in the continuation of Baba Basra. Let's say the case that is flagged over here in source 5 is somebody who opens up a chalon, l'chatzer chaveiro, opens up a window to the courtyard of his fellow. So if I open up a window, so the Baal HaChatzer, the courtyard, the person who has the courtyard right there, might be very upset because I'm going to be looking into their activities and I'll be inhibiting their activities because they know that I can look at them from the window, right? So
who's forcing who to build the wall?
So I wouldn't be... in the case where they share a chatzer, that's the sugya at the beginning of Baba Basra. So either one can force the other one to build the wall. That's basically what we say if we assume that hezek riya shmei hezek.
If people have the chatzer themselves, so you don't want someone to look in, build a wall.
Let's say one person has a chatzer in a courtyard, then there's the person who has a house with a wall that abuts the courtyard. Now that person wants to build a window. So the person who has the courtyard can say, hey, don't put up a window there because you're going to look at all the things that I'm doing inside of the courtyard, right? That's what the Shulchan Aruch speaks about here in Siman Kuf Nun Dalet. And this is really based on the Sugyam Baba Basra. Let's go back to source 3. On Samach Amun Aleph. The Mishnah there says, if you can't open up into a courtyard, even if it's a courtyard that's owned by multiple people, but it's not a Rishus HaRabim, it's not a public thoroughfare, so people don't expect anything to be private. So you can't open up, first of all, you can't have one doorway that faces another doorway, you can't have a window that faces another window, and so forth. And you shouldn't open up a window. So the Gemara says, what's the basis for this rule? So Rabbi Yochanan says, the basis of this rule is exactly the pasuk that we quoted with respect to Bilam. Vayisav Bilam Zeina Vayarisav Shoshokhin Shvatav. What did he do? He saw the Roshim Piskei Aleim Mekuvanim Zelazeh Amar Ruyin Alala Shetishra Aleim Shechina. He said, these people are worthy of having the divine presence rest upon them. So we see from here that this is a part of how we're supposed to set up our neighborhoods, how we're supposed to set up our societies. And the Ramban in source 4 over here says that when it comes to these types of chazak, when these types of restrictions, let's say a person says, oh, but I already had my window open for a long time and you never said anything, so therefore I have a chazakah that I have the right to keep it that way. So the Ramban says there's no such thing as a chazakah when it comes to these matters, because this is not just a monetary damage, this is a damage which actually affects a person's goof, they affect the person's essence, their very being, that they are encumbered by the virtue of the fact that they are being seen. Take a look at the fourth line of the Ramban. Imishum ayin ra. Either it's because of ayin ra, which is what we mentioned in connection with looking at a person's garden in their gina. Imishum lishna bisha, that you're looking at them and you're seeing negative, derogatory things when they're not at their best, they're not on, so to speak. Imishum sneusa, or that their privacy is being violated, that they're not able to do private things. And also, how can we say that a person, by virtue of not having complained about the fact that you have a window looking into their courtyard, that that's going to create a chazaka of miyaga kamamati limcho? It's prospective damage. You don't know just how much the person is going to encroach upon your privacy, that you know how much it is that you would be meichel. So therefore he says that the oath of Fila Machal in Nisak, even if there was Mechila, Kimin Debadai also who the Mazik Lazika Beriya Lustakabo, since that the person who's looking into your courtyard is not allowed to look in, because that's a prohibition to look inside. That's an actual violation of a privacy that the Torah is going to prohibit. And that's what we mentioned before. A person cannot be careful about that. So therefore, it's like a psik reshe, that if your window is looking at the person's courtyard, you're going to see them doing private things. So we say that better you should close your window and not be constantly sinning. And this is not the sort of thing that's going to be subject to mechila. That's the opinion of the Ramban. Now, I'm sorry?
Why isn't it Hezek She'eino Nikar?
Hezek She'eino Nikar might just mean that if I cause the damage, then I am not obligated to pay you money, let's say. And you can say that maybe there's no actual monetary damage that would have to be paid in this case. But it doesn't mean that you have the right to be Mazik in the first place.
But how do we know that whatever Hezek he's experiencing came from this, so to speak, Mazik?
No, the very ability of a person to look into another individual's private domain, that itself is considered to be a hezek. That itself is a hezek. So therefore, you're starting out with a hezek. This invasion of a person's privacy is itself considered to be a hezek. That's the chiddush of this, and that's why we would say that it's prohibited to have such a window. Take a look in the Shulchan Aruch source 5. So the Shulchan Aruch Pasuk is not like the Ramban. He says that if you do have a window which is open, and the Baal HaChatzer says, I'm going to let you keep the window, they help you build the window, they don't complain about the window, so then you do have a chazaka in that case, and then they can't complain about it afterwards. Why is that? Because this is the type of damage where do you hang out? There was a movie, right? An Alfred Hitchcock movie called Rear Window. So you could have an extreme case where somebody is a paraplegic and they have nothing to do all day but sit in front of their window. And what usually people don't sit in front of their windows all day just watching the world go by. They might occasionally look in their window. The window is mostly there to provide some light, to provide some air. They're not really looking out the window all the time. So it's possible that you don't have to make it into a psik reshe that you're going to always look out the window if the person who owns the courtyard is not worried that you're always going to look out the window. So the sort of thing that could be forgiven. So that's what the Rama says. Can Roy Lohos Machash Kwahexik Zebakolon, they even though Abbi Sharabim Chokim, even though there are peeps to a summary shown like the Ramban hold, Srilu de Ain Chazaka Mihani Behezekriya, that there's no Chazaka Behezekriya, but Pilaman Damash Yeshno Chazaka, but he says even if there is a Chazaka, all that means is that you can keep the window, but there's still an isser, there's still a prohibited activity to look into somebody else's courtyard and watch what they're doing. Because you are going to hurt them with your ri'iyah. As the Ramban says, either it's going to be an ayin hara, or it's going to be some form of lashon hara, in the sense that you are seeing things that are negative about them, or it's sneusa, that you're uncovering them, you're impeding them from doing the activities that they want to be able to do because they're afraid that somebody is looking at them. So therefore, that is an isser is not forgivable. You would still be violating that isser. Now, all the person is allowing you to do is to have the window, but not to look out the window when they happen to be in the chatzer and to violate the isser. Yes?
Does it make a difference between Jew and Jew and Gentile?
Does it make a difference if it's Jew or Gentile? These are rules that are applicable to a Jewish society in terms of what the rules are between fellow Jews. If the non-Jews have different rules, din and demachus of what you're allowed to do with respect to non-Jews, and they all go along with it, so presumably they would be governed by that set of rules. But certainly within the halakha community, we're governed by the set of rules that constitute halakha, and this is part of the framework of halakha. So getting back to the sma, yes?
Yeah, so there's still gradations of what defines a window. In other words, nowadays, so the existence of the window is the hezek, but what about these half windows where you don't normally see, like a bedroom window that's from the top up, or a bathroom window?
If you wouldn't be able to see anything out the window, then it shouldn't be a problem.
Standing there, right?
Then it shouldn't be a problem if you wouldn't be able to see out the window. Here we're talking about windows that a person would normally look out of a window. If you had a type of window that nobody looked out of, so maybe that would be okay. maybe that would be okay.
And frosted glass.
Well, that's the two situations.
Some of the postmen talk about glass windows. The Aruch HaShulchan goes out of his way to say glass windows are also a problem because you could see through the glass. But if it was a type of glass where you couldn't see out of, then that presumably would be a lot better. Now, if you look at the Sma, so the Sma says, why do we use the term Hezek Ria with respect to the Ayin Hara case of the garden, where nobody is doing anything in the garden except there's stalks of wheat that are growing there, but not over here? So he says, because when it comes to Ayin Hara, so you're causing immediate harm by just looking at the stalks that could cause Ayin Hara. As we pointed, but when it comes to the other type of the Hezek Ria that we were speaking about, like in Simon Shin and Dalet, Kigon Shechaveiro, this is in the third line, Moyasi Iska Bechasa Mikoach She Bosh Mimenu, that your neighbor is not going to want to do his private things in the yard because he's embarrassed from you. Oshiyari Shevelo Hezek Asagas Gvul Shara Yonim, or he's worried you'll see what he's doing and you're going to duplicate it. Kiyosa Beilo, so that inhibits him. So there, it's not immediate Hezek. He says, so that's why we don't call it Hezek Ria necessarily in the Shulchan Aruch, but certainly in the Gemara, that's referred to very much as Hezek Ria. Mashenkin Sod Bekamo said, the Ria Mitzad Asma Shaled Dispova Gorem is Hezek. Avalin Isser, but as far as the Isser of Hezek Ria, as the Gemara talks about, Hanami Koshikain the Asser. This is when you're looking at a person as they're engaged in their private activities, that's the biggest Isser. Because when it comes to the Ayin Hara of looking at a person's stalks and zucchinis and tomatoes, so that might only be like considered to be a Midas Chasidus not to do when we speak about Ayin Hara. In the Migdal Oz in Source 8, in Hilchos Shkedim Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, quotes the Tshuva of the Rambam, where the Rambam says that there is a Hezek Gadol when you're looking at a person's private activities in their home, as opposed to when you're looking at their stalks and so forth, which is an Ayin Hara thing. He says that's only Dibrei Chasidus. That's only like a Midas Chasidus. However, he says, but certainly, if you're going to be looking at a person's private activities, that's the worst type of Isser that you could potentially be committing. So that's kind of an interesting thing that he's saying over here. Now, the halacha is, as the Rush points out, quoting the Rif in Source 10 over here, that of the two different Lashonos at the beginning of the Maseches Baba Basra, so we do hold that Hezek Ria Shmei Hezek. So what that means is, if I had two people who were sharing a property, a chatzir, for example, and it was subject to chalukah, to being split, so that one part would go to one property, one part would go to one person, and the other part of the property would go to the other person, so either one could insist upon a splitting of the property in a way in which a wall will be built. How tall does the wall have to be? The wall has to be at least 4 amos. 4 amos, which is approximately 6 to 8 feet. So that is going to prevent people from normally being able to see from one side to the other side. And even if they were sharing this property together for many years and nobody said anything, the Rosh says that in this particular case, there's no such thing as a chazaka. That's the Rosh in Baba Basra, a Paragalasim and Base, Source 11. Because each one says, oh, I was waiting for you to be Mocha, because I'm not only am I looking at you, you're also looking at me. It goes both ways. So I figured why should I be Mocha at you all this time to build a wall? I figured that you're going to be Mocha at me, that I'm looking at you just like you're looking at me. And also, this is a type of Hezek which is constant because of the fact that they're constantly utilizing the space. So unlike the case of the window that happens to look out in the courtyard, so you could say that if nobody said anything originally, it creates a chazakah because the person with the courtyard isn't worried that the guy in the window is the person who has the window is always going to look out the window. But here, you're constantly using the same property together, so therefore at any point in time, one partner can insist that the other partner is going to join them in funding the cost of building a wall. Yes?
With the thing of Hezek Ria being an Ayin Hara,
yes.
How does that work with your next door neighbor is building an addition to his house, or he's building a brand new house?
So if they're building an addition to their house, they're not worried that you're going to see the addition, that's perfectly fine. The Ayin Hara was more that you're looking at their business venture. The business venture is kind of like the crops that are growing in their house, that you're staring at that. So it's just like people build a fence so that the rodents are not going to go and eat all the vegetables. So sometimes the next door neighbor could be a rodent that's going to cause damage to the vegetable garden by staring at it and admiring it. So if you look at the explanation for the halakha in the Shulchan Aruch Siman Kuf Nun Zayin, this is source 12. Chatzar Shutfin that is subject to a chalukah, that the chatzar, the courtyard, is going to be split between the parties. So either one can compel the other one to build a wall in the middle, so that the neighbor will not see the first neighbor when they're utilizing their space. And even if it stood for many years, like the Rosh said, they can compel this at any point in time. Says the Ramah, even if there's a minig in the city that we don't require a wall. Let's say the din of the Malchusa is that people share a backyard that's constantly being used, and the din of the Malchusa, or the minig of Malcolm, is we don't compel the neighbor, one neighbor, to share in the cost of building a wall at the other neighbor's request. Ein holken acharav. We say this is not a davar shebamamon, this is a davar shebeisser. It's a davar shebeisser. If one person is going to be afraid that you're going to look at their private things, there are private things they want to do, so they have the right to insist upon the building of a wall. So this is sort of the third different angle. We mentioned that there's sort of the psychic harm, we mentioned there's the monetary harm, but there's also the impact on society, as Rabbi Feldman says. There's the notion that we don't want to have a society in which we are desensitized to these types of things. So that's why, for example, one thing that cannot be forgiven at all, and that is this notion of building a Pesach Keneged Pesach. So Shulchan Aruch says that here, it doesn't matter if you have a chazak or anything. If you look in Source 13, if I'm going to have my own inside of my house, a courtyard, okay, maybe a person will decide they're not going to do private things in their courtyard. They'll just kind of do work on the lawn or whatever. But in the privacy of my home, you're going to have a doorway that looks right across from my doorway. So that's something where even if there would be some type of a chazaka, there would even be an agreement between the parties that we're not going to worry about it. That's a different, we're not going to allow it because it's just outright an isser. This is, I'm sorry?
It would be a distance prohibition, you know. If it's 50 feet or 100 feet or 200
The distance
feet away.
Prohibition is only at the point that you can no longer see. If you have really good eyesight and you look straight ahead and you're able to see into your neighbor's door, it doesn't matter if it's 50 feet away, you can still see what's going on over there. The Ramah, the Yad Ramah, in his commentary to Maseches Bava Basra, gives an explanation. He says, what did Bilam say? He saw that the doorways didn't face each other, and he made the statement that these people are right for the Shekhinah to reside upon them, right? That's what it says. He saw and therefore they are worthy of the Shekhinah residing. The Spirit of God rested upon him. That idea of the Spirit of God resting upon him. So the Maharsha explains, it says, Allah doesn't mean upon him, but Allah on the Jewish people. That because of this, this is why the Shekhinah this is why we were zoche for the Shekhinah to reside upon the Jewish people. So this idea, says the Yad Ramah, if it was something where even if the doorways were right opposite each other, you could potentially have forgive or be moichel, you could waive any objection of the neighbor looking straight at you. So why is it only v'uyin halalo shetishrei aleim shechina that he said according to the Gemara in Bava Basra daf samach and aleph, based on the fact that ein pischem mekuvanim zeh kenet lazeh, that they weren't lined up? Maybe the Shekhinah would be worthy of residing upon them even though the doors were lined up to each other. Maybe they were moichel each other. So he says, we see from here that mechila doesn't work. That's what the Yad Ramah said. We see that it's an absolute iser when mechila doesn't work. So we have sort of this third angle as well, where there is, as a matter of our societal rules, we don't allow mechila when it comes to these types of things.
And we learn that because of Bilam?
Well, we learn it from Bilam. We learn it from the Bracha of Bilam, not because of Bilam, but this was, remember, he was inspired. He wanted to give us a curse, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed around.
Well, I can see that, but to say you can't have a chila, though, I'm not sure.
Right, so we're Medayek. That's why it says in from Baba Basa that Moshe wrote the Parsha of Bilam. Bilam didn't get to write it himself. Moshe wrote it. So the way in which the words are expressed for us to learn from is because it was articulated by Moshe, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to write it down. So this is what we call non-waivable. The Chazon Ish.
Why can't he be Michael?
He can't be Michael, says the Yavamah, because it's a, but you can't be Michael a complete violation of privacy when you're doing mamish milsa mili disniusa. If a person was Michael, they would say to their neighbor, you can look inside when I'm having, when a person is having relations with his wife. It would be an issur to look at it. There are certain things that are just objectively usur. It's usur to have a society in Klal Yisrael where people can have their doors, their doorways open, looking straight into the private activities of what's going on into each other's home. It wouldn't be the case in a chatzar, because in a chatzar you don't have to do mili d'tzniusa. So because in a chatzar it doesn't have to be. I may choose to do mili d'tzniusa, but in the inside of my house, by definition, is something which is a mili d'tzniusa. It's a private place.
Only by the house.
Only by the house. Only by the inside of the house do we say that it's non waivable. Exactly.
Is it a damage against the person, the body? Is that inside of a house?
It would be something we don't allow you to do it, but if a person did it, they would not be able to collect money. They probably would not be able to collect money because we can't ascertain the actual damages. The Aruch HaShulchan says if I look at your zucchini and your zucchini then goes rotten, so then maybe I am responsible. I can't prove it. It's Hezek Sheinu Nikar because I didn't chop up the zucchini with a knife. Or spray any kind of poison upon it. But nonetheless, he says, if indeed my ayin hara caused them to go rotten, I am chayav b'dei shemayim. It's what we call a grumma. That it was a grumma sort of causation. I would be chayav b'dinei shemayim. So the Chazon Ish in Baba Basra Siman Yud Beis Sifkata Nadalid says that in these types of situations, when I'm dealing with a cholon keneged cholon or pesach keneged pesach, yesh bo isura. He says that this is a case where it's not merely a question of monetary harm in terms of a tort, but it's an actual isser. So this plays out. This plays out in terms of a real life halacha that when you pass a person's home, if they happen to have the window open, their door open, you're not allowed to gawk and look inside of a person's house. Yeah, that's considered to be an isser. If you look inside of a person's house, that's considered, even if the window is open, even if the door is open, you're just curious. Oh, I want to see what the furniture is like in that house. I want to see what their base medrash looks like. And the light is on and you see that the windows, that the shades are open. You're not supposed to, if you happen, incidentally, casually, you're walking on the street, you can't help but notice your eyes just happen to go, they gravitate towards a window, a door, you see what's going on for a moment, that's okay. But to look, further and to scrutinize what's in your neighbor's house, you're actually prohibited from doing that unless your neighbor invites you in. That's a different story. So the post can talk about, you knock on the door, the neighbor opens the door, so then they're allowing you to look inside. But you're a guest in someone's house, and the post can say, you're staying in the bottom floor where they put you, and you're allowed access to the kitchen on the main floor, but you want to, explore to the upper floor and see what the bedrooms look like over there. That's considered to be an isser. That's an invasion of privacy. I would think, and this is maybe a chiddush, that it probably applies to other types of residences of a person. You ever have a curiosity to see what's going on in the car next to you when you're in a traffic jam, and who's inside and what conversation is going on? That probably is also included.
But is there an expectation of privacy there?
There probably is an expectation.
What about on Hanukkah when you purposely put the
Hanukkah in the next car? It's a safety issue also to see your surroundings.
It's a safety. Well, yes, you should look at your surroundings to make sure you're not going to fall into a pothole. But you don't have to stare into a person's property. That if you needed to, for whatever reason, for safety purposes, if you could conjure up such a case, then you can look at it under those circumstances.
What about on Hanukkah when you purposely put the lights in the window for people?
That's a different story. That's presuming he said it's a mitzvah, so everyone understands. So that's something that you're supposed to look at. That's there for the purpose of people looking at it. That's a totally different story. But otherwise, even loitering by by a person's property and just sauntering near a person's property where it can look as if you are taking a stare into the person's property despite the fact that you're not doing it, that also is included in the prohibition. If you take a look in the Shulchan Aruch, source 13 over here, Niskeshkenim Simen Kupnun Dalet Siv Gimel. So he mentions the halacha that Pesach Neged Pesach Loma Ani Chazaka, that there's no Chazaka in terms of allowing for a Pesach Neged a Pesach, a doorway next to a doorway, with respect to windows that are opposite each other. There's a machlokas about it. Some say that then you could have a chazaka because people aren't always necessarily positioned by their windows. They could be careful not to do private things by the windows. Much more difficult in front of your front door. And then at the very end, the Ramah adds this last line. Yesh om shitzar v'lizar adam li'astaka b'beis chaveo ashu nispas kigana b'riyai kivin kivin she'em lo taina. That you should be careful, and the way that it's explained by the smart is that it shouldn't look like you're staring. Even if you're not staring, you just happen to have your eyes floating in that direction, but it shouldn't look like you're staring, because then you're like a ganav, that you're stealing the privacy of your fellow. If you don't have a taina, what does it mean you don't have a taina? You have no other explanation. Why am I looking in this direction? The only good explanation is that I want to see what's inside of your house. If I happen to be standing by the doorway of your house because I'm waiting for an Uber to pick me up, so then that's a different story. That would be okay. There's a bus stop over there. That would be okay. I'm looking out my window, and you happen to have a window across the street, but there's also a nice park. Which is there that I could reasonably be looking at. So some of the poskim say, well, in that particular case, that's okay, because then yeshli taina. It's only when it's an aimlo taina. Aimlo taina means that there's a Matisyahu Schwartz who wrote an article in the Beis Aaron Bistrol Journal. He says, if I reasonably could be looking at the street, so then even if there's a window across the street, I don't have to worry that it's going to look like I'm looking into the window. But if I'm standing by my neighbor's property and I'm just staring straight at that, this happens sometimes. You'll open up, you'll see somebody standing on the street and they're just momishly staring into your window. You wonder, what does this guy want? Why is this person staring into my window? Usually because trying to figure out, you know, is this the property of the Gevir who lives on my street where he wants to collect some money or not? So he's trying to figure out. But it looks a little bit weird. Somebody is just standing there, you know, staring at a property. So that's something you're supposed to avoid. Look at the Nesivos, source 14. Yes?
So there's a spectrum of words in both English and Hebrew, like la'afif, la'ashkif, li'ol, li'stakel.
Correct.
Li'stakel is sort of at the lower end, but that's the word that the Shulchan Aruch is constantly using, not stare, not gaze.
Correct, which is exactly why the Nesivos of Mishpat says what he says in source 14. He says, Nistakel, Hainu, Afilu, Histaklus Muat. Even if it's on the lowest end of the spectrum, you're barely even taking a tiny little look. He says, that's what the Ramah meant to say. You're not specifically looking into the house. You're just looking in the general area, but because of the fact that it looks like you're peering into the house, you shouldn't even be a chashud. You shouldn't even be suspected of looking in such a way that it would look like, that it would appear as if you're gazing into your fellow's house. That's why it says that you have, it has to be a situation where you don't have an out. Since you have no other good explanation, it's not a bus stop, it's no other reason for you to be looking in this direction, there's no Levana out that's, you know, on that's going to be in the doorway for you to say Kiddush Levana, so then people are going to be suspicious of it, and it would be prohibited for you to look under those circumstances.
What if he has a blooming fruit tree?
If it's a blooming fruit tree, so you have a taina then. You have a taina. Certainly if it's during the month of Nisan, you would have a good taina. So then we have that sort of what I would call the first category of what type of a standard we have, that even if it would be something where people agree that they're going to build a Pesach Neged Pesach, we're not going to allow them to do it. Because there's an actual Isser element involved. And then we have sort of like your second level, where you have the Chalon, you have the window which is peering out into a person's courtyard, where we say there could be a chazaka, because it's not a constant nuisance, and it is possible that your fellow is going to say that this is going to be okay. Or, for example, where it's the other type of hezek ria, where it's a mapil situation, meaning that I am darkening a person's window where they have the ability to look at, and I build a wall. I'm allowed to build a wall as long as it's four amos away. That's okay. But if I build it within four amos and the person doesn't complain and they're okay with it, so then that would create an immediate chazaka that we say, that's all right. That's not something where it's an iser per se, as long as there is a forgiveness on the part of the other party. And then I have a chazaka that is created. And then finally, I have the case of the shared chatzer. The shared chatzer, I can also have an agreement, a kinyan between the parties, where the parties would say for sure that we're not requiring each other to build a wall. But here, unlike the case of a window, which is peering out into somebody else's chatzer, where I would say that if they don't complain right away, then I have myself a chazaka. In that case, as we mentioned the name of the Rosh, there's no chazaka, because we can say that they're there, since the damage is constant, that there's no chazaka that you can earn over the passage of time, and because it's reciprocal, it goes to waste. So at any point in time, somebody can ask for a wall to be built. We had this case in Chicago. I had one dintel. A person was making some renovations to their property, and they were making their backyard into, there was a shared backyard. They actually had a shared backyard with their next door neighbor, but there was kind of like kedei chalukah, meaning at a certain point there really was a boundary line, so it was clearly a chalukah, and the next door neighbors and the person in their renovation, they were making it into like this giant play area where their children were constantly going to hang out and so forth, and this other person had this nice quiet porch, and they were an older couple, and this nice quiet porch nearby, and said, I don't want to, you know, these kids who are constantly going to be playing outdoors or whatever, I don't want them to be looking into my deck when I'm sitting and reading, you know, the Hamodi or the New York Times or, you know, whatever it happens to be. So I want a wall to go up in between the properties. And we said that in this particular case, it was a perfectly reasonable thing. The question was what the size of the wall should be. The size of the wall, when people are doing really private things in their property, we say should be four amos. But if it's a gina, for example, the Gemara says if it's just like a garden where people aren't doing private things in the property, so then the wall only has to be 10 tefachim. It only has to be 10 tefachim, which is about, you know, 3 feet as opposed to 6 feet or more. So we said that in this case, we're not going to require a wall of more than 10 tefachim. And if the one who really wanted the wall desperately wanted to be four amos, then they would have to finance the difference between the wall of 10 tefachim and the wall of four amos. But this could actually come up.
Why can't he just be told to build the wall on his part of the property?
Why? He's entitled to say, but then he's taking up, then he's limiting the amount of his property, then he doesn't get the full benefit of this property going to the borderline. So therefore, he's the right to say, let's build a wall in the middle of the borderline.
The person who owns the other side doesn't have to contribute, though, even though it's on his property.
The person has to contribute to at least whatever is the minimum height of the wall that we think is appropriate. They would have to contribute 100%. That's right. So that's sort of like the third category.
What material did you tell him he had to build it with?
I'm sorry? What material? I don't honestly remember what material. I think that we just figured out whatever was sort of the whatever was the standard type of fence that would close off the area entirely. I think we left it to the parties to work out the type of material. We trusted them to
figure
that part out themselves. Yeah, you know, a little bit we could give to the parties. But what about the observation of the Ma'ari Tatz? So we have all of these, you know, different types of hezekim that we're speaking about. If you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, tells us that he sort of summarizes them for us in Kuf Mem Daled. He talks about the Ayin Hara. He talks about there are many malachos in the third line, many malachos in Tashmishim, Asrikim, Snius, many different activities that require privacy. She'echad Mabit Mono Me'asiyasa, one person can look. They're preventing the other person from being able to get the full use of their property. And he says the person who's damaged is considered to be the muktzav. So if I wanted to argue that you had given me some sort of a chazaka in the property that you sold to me, or the right to be able to look inside, to use the property without a wall or something like that, or to open up a window, if there is a hezek ria where you're actually encroaching upon the person's property in terms of looking at it, so then we say that the chazaka would require a full 3 years to pass before you would have a chazaka. The only time that we would say you would have sort of an instantaneous chazakah is if it's, I'm doing something in my property where I'm not encroaching your property, like I'm building a wall that happens to be right in front of a window of yours. So then we would say the chazakah would be instantaneous in that particular case. So we have, yes. If you're building the wall less than 4 amas, if you build it more than 4 amas away, so that would be okay. But what about the Maritatz's observation that we don't generally have these types of claims? As I said, we sometimes have these types of claims, and also people have windows and doors that are completely opposite each other, and without moving it over like a tiny little bit, like they're supposed to move it over. So why is that? So the Chazon Ish says, well, part of it is minhag ha-medina. And he says that if the minhag is, he's not talking about the things that are mamish asur, but let's say you have windows that open up to a courtyard. He says if that's the minhag that people understand, that there are windows that open up from their neighbors' houses into their courtyards, so then he says, v'zeh tali b'minhagish, minhag ha-makam shkolecha poseach halonos l'chatzis tamah ha-chiyu, v'etzleinu she'enenu ragilim mitashmish tzenua b'chatzir near the stamahu adas l'ptoach halonos. He said in our backyards, our courtyards, whatever, so he said that we don't really use them for tashmish tzenua. What's the most tashmish tzenua you're going to do in your backyard? You'll have a barbecue. What are you going to do in your backyard? What kind of tashmish tzenua do you have? If you have a swimming pool, so build a fence around your swimming pool. But generally speaking, it's not
gardening where you're not necessarily sneezing.
Gardening is not a tashmish tzenua per se. I mean, we're not talking about the women who are hanging up the laundry while they're half naked. We're not talking about a tashmish tzenua that used to be done in the olden days, which is why, by and large, people who have backyards are not coming to us clamoring, oh, we need to have my neighbor, I need to have my neighbor build a wall or a fence in the middle of the backyard. We had this unusual case that came in front of our beds, and we felt it was appropriate. Some posts can say that if you have a shared terrace, I don't know when you would have that, maybe in apartment buildings, they have two people who have a shared terrace, so then it's appropriate to say that in a terrace, you might have a more of a need for privacy to be, half undressed and sitting in your terrace. I'm not sure, assuming that, you have some blinds or something protecting you from the outside. So then you might say to your neighbor that it's appropriate to build a wall in the middle. But generally speaking, we don't have, the minhag is that we don't really have a tashmish tzenua used so much. Secondly, even with respect to Pesach Neged Pesach, the Poskim, the Pesachei Choshen says that there isn't as much a private business going on directly in front of the entranceway, because people use the entranceway as like a foyer. It's like a little entrance area before you get into where people are going to be doing their private stuff. When you walk directly inside, so that's where people might hang up their coats or something like that. It's like a little bit of a foyer area before you get into the main part of the house. So when you look inside the Pesach, you're going to be sorely disappointed because you're not going to see that much. Also, Rav Menachem Shlomo Alevi, one of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, so he wrote in an article that was published in one of the Torah journals, that nowadays our psachim are not used to go directly into the heart of the house in a different way, that our psachim, they're also not open that much. They're only used for knisa v'yitzia. You only open up the door when someone wants to come inside and when somebody wants to go outside. It's not like in the olden days where an opening to a doorway to a home was essentially open the vast majority of the time. So therefore he says that there's more room to be makel nowadays, Pesach, Gabe Pesach. With respect to the windows, our windows are used not for purposes of viewing, but generally are used more for purposes of light or air, as the Rush points out, which is why people may not be as makpid with respect to chalonos nowadays. And finally, one thing that a number of the poskim speak about, you look in Moshe Sternbach, in his Shuvos Van Hagos, Kwak Gimel Siman Tuf Nun Gimel, look at a source of what he starts with, number 3, with paragraph number 3. He says, V'nei b'ropin yonam ayom gam Eretz Yisrael u'makpidim al hezek riyah. Most of the structures that we have in Eretz Yisrael today, people are not so concerned about hezek riyah. So he says, why is that? All that we require is that there be 8 meters between one residence and another residence, but otherwise, you can see from one window to another window 8 meters away. That's not so much. How much is 8 meters? 24 feet or so, right? He says, we have blinds and shutters. Because of the fact that we now generally have blinds and shutters, if somebody wanted to do something private in their own home, you know what they could do? They could put up the blinds and the shutters. The counter argument would be, come on, you think they didn't have blinds in the days of, you know, the Gemara? The Gemara speaks about such things as well. So it speaks about Tresim. But he says, but nowadays it's much more common, and therefore it's perfectly fine. He says, Omisha Mistako, fourth line of the third paragraph, Mekuvan, if you are looking directly because you want to see what's going on in your neighbor's house, Bamas Usser, of course that's Usser. However, he says that because of the fact that we do have the Bilonim, that the people do have the ability to put up at their shutters and their blinds, so therefore, that's considered to be good enough. And he writes, Rabbi Michu, Kabinyonim, Kanal, Divrei, Maspik, it's good enough. Even though the rules and regulations, he wasn't writing this after he moved to Eretz Yisrael. He was writing this when he was the Rav in South Africa. He says, even though the rules come from the Johannesburg, you know, government or whatever, Akshi Yisodim, Akam, Shin Etzlam, Sneers, and they're not so Sinur, let's face it. Mikomakam, Gamma, Didar, Meakashena, Parots, Babana, Yeshistak, Yitkach. Since there is an actual precis in terms of our ability to protect ourselves, and these buildings are already up, it's good enough, and we don't need to worry about Hezek Ria in the vast majority of cases that we're talking about. But he does say in the fifth paragraph that if in the fourth paragraph that if you are going to start building the development, so then he said it is appropriate to start building the development in a way that does respect halakhic norms, where at least the doorways are not set up right next to each other, right opposite each other. That certainly is the way that a Jewish society should be built. But if they're already built, so then he says that as long as you follow the minhag ha'makom, there's enough room to be mako, certainly with the windows, you have the shutters, and others say with respect to the doors, they're only used for entering and exiting, or they are only used as entrance ways, and not there, and they don't really give a glimpse as to the real private things that are taking place directly inside of the house. And he quotes from the Maharitatz on page 5 over here, first paragraph, and he says, and this is why the Maharitatz came to his conclusion in spot me olam lo shemana bo bali yadeno tfis tfiak tfias hezek ria berichu kmokom harbe v'hayna shibonu gemena gam mekubo, when people are observing just whatever are the normal zoning laws. But then he writes, this is all in Chutz La'aretz, he said in Eretz Yisrael I heard there are those who disagree, and they do hold that you should follow the general rules of Hezek Ria. So in terms of getting a perspective of someone in Eretz Yisrael, the Shevi Alevi, Rav Shmuel Bozna, was in Eretz Yisrael, he's in source 21, Chelek Yud, Siman Reish Ayin Beis, and he also is being asked about why is it that we build our residences, especially in very concentrated neighborhoods. In Haredi communities, you might have lots and lots of families living in multifamily units right next to each other with lots of small children. Here in West Rogers Park, I mean, come on. The window of my neighbor right next to where I live is maybe, what, I don't know, 3 feet away? I could probably stick out my hand and put it into the window inside of their kitchen. It's sometimes a little bit discombobulated. You could see them walking around the kitchen. I'm sure they could see us walking around in the kitchen. So how is it that we tolerate such things? So the answer is we should really close our blinds if we are going to be walking around in the kitchen and so forth. So we have to be careful about that. But he says, well, what's the explanation? Why we're so tzipufim and so forth, even in terms of the way that we build? So he says, this is the third paragraph of the Shevet Alevi, Umashinira Yoser, to the fi mitzirs hayom mochlim zeh lezeh. He says there's more of a mechila. Now remember, we said mechila doesn't necessarily work, but Pesach negid Pesach, so you have to come up with those other explanations, but at least with the window, it could work. Kirin shememela also listakil, since everyone knows you're not allowed to look anyway, so therefore, you have the ability to simply avoid looking and be careful not to look out in the window. And of course, we have the ability to close our shutters, as we mentioned. But what does he actually say? He says, "Vegam, you can't say to your neighbor, oh, build a wall, so that you won't look into my kosa." Vegam, happy darn kayam mekomas gavoyim meod. You'll see it works out, tell him. And he says that it's not possible to just protect, for people to protect themselves by building a very, very high wall, so therefore it's enough to know, you're not allowed to look. And also it's not nice to look, and therefore it's not the etiquette. We know nowadays it's the etiquette. People can get very, very huffy if they feel that somebody's looking at them. They'll sue them for harassment or something. And then, of course, he brings the same argument that the Tshuva Svanagos brought, Osim Hagana Shlovi Stakil. You can have a Hagana, you can have shutters that will prevent you from looking or being looked at. So therefore, he says that it's that you don't have to worry about it so much. But he said, unless b'shas b'niyah, maybe we can be careful when we're actually building a development to see to it that we will have these protections which are put into place. But Rav Svi Spitz, the author of Minchas Tzvi, says that there's a sort of an agreement that when you move into a neighborhood and you know that the windows and the doors are right next to each other and that you're relying upon people's good faith that they're not going to be staring at you and that you have the ability to close your door and your windows and so forth, you're going in with sort of that agreement, that that's sort of what you're subscribing to, what you're signing up to. Rav Gidon Perl wrote an article in Tzuchumen, Volume Yud Tes, in which he didn't like any of these arguments. And he writes, you have a minhag which is set up without consulting with the great rabbi, so that suddenly supersedes all of halacha. Well, his case was where the neighbor built like this huge porch that would look directly into the claimant's windows. And the person's going to sit in their porch all this time. So he says, Kobas Tzkanas Treason. He says, oh, so you'll say, this person can constantly close their window all the time because they have shutters. Ain't a poseris is bias as a career. That doesn't solve the problem. Shrey Adam Konen bias him kolonis. It's the reason the person wanted a house with windows. Amenash Yukle Hemas Miyavi Avi. Because they wanted to keep the windows open. They wanted the light and they wanted the airspace and so forth. Lomana Amenas the Hugifis a Treason. And that's that they'll constantly have to close up the shutters. So therefore, he doesn't like this idea that we're so blasé and laissez-faire about it. He says that really we should crack down much more in our communities, and that's something that certainly is worthy of a further consideration. And certainly, if somebody is engaging in a use of their property where they're so clearly going to be upsetting and impeding upon a person's privacy, like in the case that we had at the best, and we felt that there are times where it's appropriate to still insist upon walls b'zman hazeh, every single case has to be taken on its own merits. Now, the Halacha Shulchan points out one thing that you don't find in Halacha. You find that sometimes you can insist on a wall in the middle of a courtyard. You find that it's usher to look into a person's private space. You find that you shouldn't block a person's view. And we say by building a wall within four amos. And some say that if it's a type of a building like a Beis Knesset, which requires a kind of a more expansive view, so then you shouldn't build a wall even for a further space. And in all this very case specific, you have to figure out what makes a sense under the circumstances. But one thing that is not, and you shouldn't have a window looking out into somebody else's courtyard unless it's mechila. But one thing that we don't find in any of the sources is that you're entitled to a view. We don't find that. You're entitled to privacy. You're entitled to have airspace, you know, from your window. And you're entitled to have light go into your window. And that's why you get a four amos extension after your window. But we don't find that if you had a beautiful view and now your neighbor built an upper story to their house because the zoning laws allowed them to do so, that you can stop them because they encumbered your view. So that's what the Halacha Shulchan says. He says, Kasav Echad Ben Gedolim, the Davka Hezek Riyah, so a Menias Riyah, one of them built a larger story. Now the first neighbor can't have the same beautiful view that he or she had before. But it's not darkening the person's view. They're not building a wall that's preventing their airspace. The Halacha Shulchan likes that. So you can't complain about the view. You might buy a nice place because of the view, but make sure that it's under circumstances where it's very unlikely that somebody is going to obstruct that view. Like, you know, you're on top of like a huge mountain or something like that. Like my sister and brother-in-law in Beit Shemesh have such a property, you know, Bli Ayin Hara. So they, Baruch Hashem, still have a very, very nice view. Not something you can count on, certainly in the Beit Shemesh community, with all the building that's going on. So that's something that should be borne in mind. So I just wanted to conclude with a statement that was made by Rabbi Michael Rosenzweig, Shlita, Rosh Hashiva, we know from YU, where he speaks about the general Torah perspective that we derive from these halachos when it comes to privacy rights, as we see from the whole idea of Hezek Riyah, the Psak Din that I have in Source 27 from Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Eliezer Yehuda Waldenberg, says that if a person wants to build a sukkah, it's temporarily going to take away from the light that the light of a person's window, which is going to be obstructed because of the building of the sukkah right near that window, since it's only for 8 days, or in Eretz Yisrael, it's only for, you know, well, 7 days plus in Pastora. So he says, you know, get over it, live with it, you know, it's a Gemara in the Baba Basra, but in the case, for mitzvah purposes, he says, for mitzvah purposes, that we say, yispo tzas. Yeah, you know, for a mitzvah purpose, let somebody to perform a mitzvah. We do believe privacy is respecting a person's right, but part of respecting a person's right is also respecting a person's right to do a mitzvah as long as the sukkah comes down immediately afterwards. Says Rabbi Rosenzweig, halakhic privacy laws are designed not only to preclude the specific adverse effects of the violation of privacy, but to positively promote the value of privacy as an expression of personal tznius and human dignity. There's something more than the idea of just making every single person into a hermit so that they live in their own private space. It's really a communal value that we want to promote, the idea of tznius and human dignity from a communal perspective. It doesn't mean that it's not all about the victim and preventing somebody from being a victim, but it's about ennobling and edifying the people who are conducting themselves in such a way that they are respectful of each other's privacy. Privacy doesn't mean to be preoccupied with yourself to the detriment of others, as we see from the Pesach Din of allowing a sukkah to go up temporarily, when that was always a sukkah that the person had built before, even though right now it's obstructing a little bit of the light going into a neighbor's window for a short period of time. It's about having a sensitivity to a holy and a sacred communal life in which we are careful to respect the boundaries and borders, but at the same time all working together in order to promote the utmost and highest form of observance and of worship of a Kaddish Baruch.
Is a builder and an architect hired to make sure their building or designing to not have
to make sure that it's not
that the windows are facing each other, the doors are facing each other, so forth.
Certainly, if they are going to be building for a Jewish neighborhood, then they should be careful about that.
And a non-Jewish neighborhood,
they just think about whatever are the zoning.